Have you ever wondered what God is doing? You can nod or just say yes. You ever wondered what God is doing? Yeah. You ever wondered why he's doing it the way he's doing it? I have. You ever wonder if God is doing anything at all? Right? These are questions that come from people of faith because we already know that God exists. We've been told that God loves us and that God is active. So these questions should naturally arise. What is God doing? What does God want? Why is God doing it this way? Why does he allow things to happen? Is he doing anything right now at all? Right? These are doubtful questions, right? There's a doubt behind these questions, but they're still questions of faith. And sometimes when we experience doubt in our spiritual life, we feel a little guilty, right? A lot of times people will come to me in confession and say, I doubt. Father, I have doubts. I'm like, well, congratulations, you're human. And I tell them, it doesn't mean that your faith is terrible. A faith that can't stand up to any doubt is not a faith worth having. And we experience this dynamic today in the gospel, right? John the Baptist is sitting in prison. He's sitting in prison for his fidelity to the mission that God gave him. He preached the truth, even when it was inconvenient for powerful people. He preached God's desire for us, even when we didn't think that God was listening. He preached conversion, even while we were in the midst of our sins. And so he was being faithful to God. He was responding to God's action in his own life and being the faithful man that he believed that he could be. And he did a great job at it. We heard about that last week. Now, he's sitting in the darkness of prison. He knows who Jesus is. He knows. He's already baptized him, right? At the baptism, he even when Jesus walked down to the banks, he said, I should not be baptizing you. I know who you are. You should be baptizing me. I'm not worthy to carry your shoes. He saw the Holy Spirit descend upon the Lord as he rose out of the waters. He told his disciples, there, that is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and allowed his disciples to leave him and follow Christ. So he knows who Jesus is, and yet here he is sitting in prison asking questions. What is God doing? Why is he doing it this way? Is Jesus really the one? And he sends his disciples, not really only for his own benefit, but also for the benefit of his disciples who had invested their lives and their effort in following John. And John said, Jesus is the one to follow, the Messiah, and they don't see him acting the way they thought he should act. Their expectations are not yet being fulfilled. So why is God doing this? Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for somebody else again? That's the dynamic. And friends, we've all been there. We've all been in the darkness of that prison cell, knowing that God is God, knowing that Jesus is our Savior, and yet still suffering, still questioning, still doubting. So what do we do with this? Well, we do exactly what John encouraged his disciples to do. Go to the Lord. Come to him. Express your doubt. Express your feelings. Right? Sometimes I try to sugarcoat my prayers. Like, I'm angry at God sometimes, right? We've all been there. Like, I don't like the way this is panning out, Lord. I know you have control over everything, so shame on you for doing it. But I will sugarcoat my prayer and say, Lord, I know it's really difficult, you know, but I know everything's in your hands. The implication being, get to work now, right? But we often will sugarcoat it, right? I'm trying my best, Lord. But sometimes we just need to burst out with our doubts and saying, God, I'm having a hard time trusting you. This is a difficult situation for me, and I don't have the strength. As long as we're going to the Lord with that, we are exactly where we need to be. And what happens as the disciples come to Jesus and they ask the question, Jesus doesn't say, yeah, I am the one. Because that would have been easy, right? Jesus doesn't do that. He hardly ever gives a direct answer. But what does he do? He tells them, look at what you see. Tell John what you observe, what you are experiencing. When you are with me, what is going on? The blind are recovering their sight. The deaf hear. The lame walk. The poor, the downtrodden, have the good news preached to them. In other words, I am fulfilling all of the expectations that the prophets set up. It's just as good as saying, yeah, I am. But it's even better because it's saying, you are involved in this. You are part of this experience of God's love and God's mercy and God's holiness breaking into the world, calling you along with him to participate in that great mission that God gave to Jesus first. And then Jesus gives it to us. What does he do with John's disciples after he gives them the answer? After he orients them, he says, now, go. Go and tell John. Go and tell everybody what you have seen. He commissions them. In other words, these doubtful disciples who came to Jesus, these weak, suffering, struggling, fearful people who came to Jesus. And how many people do it that way? Everybody. What does he do? He transforms them into evangelists. Friends, this is what we do, right? Because you all answered yes to my first three questions, right? We say, what is God doing? Why are you doing it this way? Are you doing anything? And now we're here. We are here. The good news has been preached to us. We have heard God's word proclaimed. We are experiencing our community and the support. These pews are filled with people with hardships, with suffering, with loss, with difficulty, with struggles, with doubts. None of you are immune to that. And God knows it. And he's gathered you here. Yeah, you got in your car. You turned the key. You drove down here. But God drew you here. How? Through your doubt. Through your disappointment, through your fear, God brought you here. And in this experience, as we encounter Christ in his word and in his body and blood in our community, we experience Jesus. And then he says to us, go and tell everybody else what you have witnessed, what has happened to you. How God has picked you up and carried you, or just simply walked or sat with you in your struggle, in your hardship. He's never left you alone, ever. And that is the good news. You become evangelists when you go forth, right? That is what we're called to be. So on this third Sunday of Advent, as we celebrate Gaudete Sunday, rejoice. The question is why? Why rejoice? And the answer is that the Lord is near. The Lord is present. He is with you. And as you go forth, you take him with you to spread joy, to share that joy with our brothers and sisters. So may this week be a week where we are open to the presence of God, where we see what he is doing in our life, and we are able to share the joy of his presence with everyone.